we got construction guys in here, and I know we got some commercial real estate guys in here. So where and when was the first modern skyscraper built? First modern skyscraper. Anybody got any idea? Close, close. It was a home insurance building in Chicago, and it was built in 1884. And the reason we say it's the first modern skyscraper is that it was the first one with steel frame construction that we know of in the world. And it was 138 feet tall, about the same height as this building, quite frankly. And all right, so here's another one. What is the tallest building in the world today? It's the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. And it is 2,717 feet tall, about half a mile. And what's interesting, it is not a steel frame building. It is built with concrete and rebar. And there's a great special on YouTube on this thing, if you want to see it, of how they figured out how to pump concrete up a half a mile in the sky. But the story of both of those buildings is a little bit of a story of ambition. Right, you have to have a little bit of ambition, a little bit of ego to build something taller than anything else that's ever been built. In fact, up until the Eiffel Tower was built, the tallest objects in the world were the pyramids. So this idea of going high, you know, having the ambition to build something to the sky is something that's been with us a long time. And today we're going to look at a story of a tall construction. Here is a Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis. Genesis is my favorite book of the Bible. We're going to be in chapter 11 today because I'm a history buff. And so there's about 10,000 years of recorded history. 5,000 of those are in Genesis. So if you read the 47 chapters of Genesis, 50 chapters of Genesis, you'll know half of everything that's ever happened. So it's a great book if you're a history buff. So what's happened here? Well, last week, Bob Voyles covered the flood. So the flood's happened, the earth has been destroyed. And now we're about 700 years after that. And the population is beginning to be restored. And in Genesis 11, at the first verse, we see that the people have found this nice plain in an area called Shinar. It's ancient Babylon, basically. And they've decided to stop there and gather up and build a city. And in the middle of this city, they're going to build a tower. And Genesis 11:4 says, they said, come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches to the heavens. And just like the modern skyscrapers, they had a new building technique. They were going to build this tower with bricks. They up to that point, had built with stone, right? You find a stone, you hew it out, make a wall out of it, whatever. But now they said, we're going to bake bricks, and we're going to build with bricks. Not been done before, that we know of. So what is the problem with this plan? It sounds pretty reasonable. Let's stop, let's gather up, let's build a nice city, and let's build a tower at the middle of it. Sounds like a modern real estate development to me. Well, in order to see the problem, we got to go back a couple of chapters to Genesis chapter 9. And right after the flood, in Genesis chapter 9, God gives Noah and his sons and family some instructions. In 9:1, it said, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. All right, now we got a problem. Be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. Instead of filling the earth, we find that they've come to this nice plain and they said, we're going to stop running around. We're going to stop filling the earth and we're going to build a city. So this is the problem, right? The leaders there were doing something God did not tell them to do. And isn't that the way we are as leaders, right? We're always tempted to do everything except for the one thing God tells us to do. We're always tempted to do everything except for the one thing that God tells us to do. So a couple of considerations here as we look on this story in our own lives. First thing we got to ask is, what are we building? in our own lives in leadership? What are we building in your relationships, in your marriage, with your family, in your career? What are you building? We're all in construction business, right? We're all building our lives. What are we building? And more importantly, is what we are building what God told us to build? Right? Is what we're building in our lives in leadership what God told us to build? Well, let's go on. second question I have as I'm looking at this is, what's the motivation behind this tower? Why are they building this city and this giant tower? So let's go back to Genesis 11:4. They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens." So that, if you got a Bible, circle "so that." Anytime in the Bible you see the word "so that," it's you're about to get the motivation for what's happening, right? So that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So here we see the issue. Here we see the issue. It's their ambition and their pride that's the problem. And that's the lesson of the Tower of Babel, is that God does not want us to be prideful people. God does not want us to be prideful leaders. Let me ask you another question to consider. Consider what you're building. Consider whose glory are you pursuing in life and leadership? Is what you're building in your organization, in your family, in your relationships, for your own glory or for God's glory? So that we may make a name for ourselves. So God is clearly telling us here where the sin lies. The sin lies in the pride of these people. What made it wrong? Well, two reasons, and we see that in verse 4. Otherwise, we'll be scattered all over the earth if we don't stop here and build a city. Well, God had told them to scatter all over the earth. He just said, scatter all over the earth. But we want to make a name for ourselves. And this happens roughly 700 years after God destroys the earth with a flood. It's just a reminder. It doesn't take long, right, for us to get back to our ways. So what's God's response in this situation? Well, Genesis 11, starting in verse 5, the Lord came down and see the city and the tower that people were building, and he said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing will be impossible for them. And let me ask you, is this God saying, hey, if I don't stop them now, they're going to overpower me? Right, no, obviously not, right? He just destroyed the whole world with a flood, so nothing's impossible with God. What's God saying here? What he's saying is, listen, if I don't do something about this now, if I don't stop them from doing this now, then they're never going to listen to me. Because it will be I for the rest of time. They will make a name for themselves, and in making a name for themselves, my name will not only not be glorified, it won't be mentioned. So this is God saying, this pride is going to separate these people from me, and I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have it. I think it's interesting, later on when God gives us the Ten Commandments, he says, have no idols, you know, idol. I think that was on purpose, right? So he says, all right, what we're going to do is, he says, if I'm going to let them pride themselves in their own accomplishments, they'll listen only to their own voices and pursue their own goals, plans, and never listen to me again. So verse 7, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. And so he gives the people a whole bunch of languages. They're all now speaking different languages. You know, when I, we adopted three kids, but my first two kids we adopted from China. So in 07 and 2011, we traveled to China a couple of times for these adoptions. And so the first time we're like, you know, we'd love to learn a few words in Chinese, And so so we learned, you know, ni hao is hello, and chi shi is thank you. And then we learned wa ai ni, which is I love you. We thought that'd be a good thing to be able to tell our daughter. And then we learned buyapa, which is don't be afraid. And so when we were learning these phrases, we went over there and started trying them out on the interpreter, the person we were working with. And his name was David. He said, you know, guys, Chinese is a tonal language. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, the tone in which you say something changes the meaning of the word. And so, for instance, if you say the word ma, you know, go down at the end, ma, that means grandmother. If you say ma, go up at the end, that means horse. So you can, I could see it was complete confusion here, right? Complete pandemonium, right? Because not only did he confuse the lay, it wasn't just people speaking in other words, it was that the very way they interpreted language had changed among them. Now, what do we learn from this? Isn't it interesting how God used confusion to accomplish his purposes? You ever get confused as a leader? You ever get confused as a leader? What do I need to do next in this situation? How do I handle this relationship? What decision do I make here? And you're in this bit of confusion. It might be a good idea to ask in those situations, am I building the thing God told me to build? Am I following the instruction God told me to follow? It was interesting. I was looking up a little research online for this talk today, and I found a list of all the instructions God gave us in the New Testament. It's 1,050 instructions that God gave us in the New Testament. Sometimes when I meet with leaders, I'll have a lunch or something, and we'll be talking about life or leadership, and the person will say to me, I just wish God would tell me or reveal to me what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I'll pull out my Bible and go, well, here we go, right? Right? We're always tempted to do everything except for the 1,000 things God already told us to do. It's the same today as it was at the Tower of Babel. And so this is the interesting thing here, is that God uses confusion sometimes to remind us we may not be listening to his voice. And leader, can I tell you something? If you don't know what to do next in one or more areas of life or leadership with your organization, whatever the issue may be, let me challenge you with this. If you'll start on the 1,000 things that God has already told you to do in Scripture, I bet you can trust him with the 2 or 3 things that he's not told you yet, that'll be revealed in time. Is that a pretty good bet? If you start on the 1,000 things he's already said, I bet those 2 or 3 questions you need answered will get answered. You know the funny thing about the story here, the Tower of Babel story? 2 things happened. In the end, God's plan was not thwarted. Look at chapter 11, verse 8. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and he stopped building the city. That's why it's called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. The instruction he had given them 700 years ago in chapter 9, go and fill the earth, that wasn't going to be, that's what he wanted to happen, that wasn't going to be thwarted. You're not going to thwart the plans of God. Far better for us to be a part of that plan than over here to the side confused as to what's going on, right? Here's the other thing with Tower of Babel. God confused the language of the people at the tower. You know who he made sure that all of those people could still communicate with? Himself. Right? Scripture never says that all the people could no longer communicate with God. So the lesson here is pretty clear. God is saying, watch out for pride. Watch out for ambition. Watch out that that does not take the place of what I've told you to do in your lives and your leadership. And if you find yourself confused, go back and listen to my voice. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to make it so that you can't understand what I'm telling you to do. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these instructions. I confess so many times in life I will do anything and everything except for the one thing you've told me to do. And so I am sorry for that, God. And thank you for reminding us with this scripture what you think of our pride, our ego, that there's no place for it with you, God. You've given us your word because you love us and you want us to obey it because it is best for us. And help us to realize that today, and help us to walk in your word in our lives, our families, our loves, and our leadership. And we pray all of this in your name today. Amen. Hey, thank you for being here today. Enjoy the time at your table.